Greetings and blessings to the church that meets at your house. This is Pastor Kevin, host of the Gospel Trail. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. A number of years ago, somebody had a prophecy over me saying that I would be preaching in the future in many different places at the same time. Well, my friend, that's what you're getting right now. I am speaking to you from 342 miles above North Central United States. And this satellite communicates with other satellites through laser and light. And let there be light around the earth. And this light in the form of words come down over your city where we can meet. So today we're talking about discipleship centers. This was, has been around since the beginning of time. But God impressed upon me to look forward and look into the actuality of preaching in multiple locations at the same time in the form of a discipleship center. So Jesus said to me again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So go in peace and serve the Lord. You are listening to the Gospel Trail.
Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we just admit that apart from you, we can't do anything. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way, that you would direct our thoughts and our tongues and the speech, that you would direct this podcast because we want to glorify you. You are our refuge. You are our refuge on a daily basis. We just praise and thank you for this time. Have your way, Lord. Just have your way. And we praise you and thank you for this opportunity to share in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
We have the title, How to Build a Refuge.
So what is a refuge? Do we have a definition? Maybe and then Don can help us? Or
and then I, after that, I put the in quotes, why me, Lord? And I think we'll figure that one out along the way. That's how I was this morning.
Yeah, why me, Lord?
Why me, Lord?
I saw a truck one time that said, we refuse no refuge.
We refuse.
Do they haul it or dump it? I saw a sign.
I think they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There used to be a billboard on Highway 2. It said, need a load? Call Scott. I guess he must have got a lot of business. That's catchy, but I was just wondering what the load was. You know, you want to go dump on somebody.
Cool. Wow. Dump on somebody.
Yeah, like that's why me, Lord.
So what does refuge mean?
Tell me your sorrows.
Help us.
Refuge. Don? Refuge.
Yeah.
Refuge. We need to, yeah.
How do you define what are the different aspects of God as being a place of refuge? It was interesting.
A place of safety.
A place of safety.
A safety. That's right.
I've got to share something with that.
Yeah.
Because that,
yeah.
You know, that's why I love this podcast, because the Lord just kind of brings thing to mind, a place of safety. My granddaughter, on the last day of school, they asked her, in the class, they asked her, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? You know, and last year it was she wanted to be a firefighter. This year, she said she wants to be a woman's pastor. She wants to be a pastor. And then this is what, you know, I mean, I'm just so excited to share this. And
how old is the granddaughter?
She's five.
Five.
5 years
five,
old.
Five, and she's got a calling.
Right. And then the other question they asked her is, where do you feel safe? Who do you feel safe with? And that's a question I'm sure that goes in all the schools and stuff. Where do you feel safe? Who do you feel safe with?
And well,
guess what she answered? Jesus.
Wow.
I feel safe. And it's like, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, I feel safe in Jesus. And she's
And that is the question and concern today. There's a lot of anxiety, fear, and despair. And if you ever go to the doctor, I mean, even at my age, they ask me, "Do you feel safe at home?" You know, and they're not meaning tripping on things.
Right.
You know, they want to find out if there's any you know, abuse. And they ask you when you bring your kid in for shots or something, or a checkup, they ask the kid, you know, whether you're sitting there with them or not, do you feel safe at home? So that is a big concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings up a bad memory that I have.
Go listen to the last podcast. Get rid of that. I mean, manage the bad memory, put it in the backpack, and throw it into the lake.
I like this. Psalm 57:1.
57:1.
New American Standard Bible. Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. You know, this is David. That's David.
That's right.
David, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Oh, isn't that a good visual? I mean, it's like, take rest. You know, I don't know why.
It's not saying
this is getting to me right now. I mean, it's like, Lord, what's this all about? It's like, I know that my strength comes from Him, and I can run into His arms, and I can take refuge in Him, and I know that I will be taken care of. And that just brings kind of a tear to my eye and just thinking about it, because He is dependable. He says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest." Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are a safe refuge. Thank you that we can go there. Thank you for my daughter saying that Jesus is her.
That's right.
She can go.
That's right.
I mean, that's just enough to cry. It's like,
that is. And,
I mean, it's like what comes out of little children. And it's like, and she meant it, you know. I mean, it just wasn't that she even thought about it. She just stated. And I thought, you know, to all you listeners, that's where it says, you know, we are to come as little children, trusting in Him, letting Him cradle us in His arms or on His lap, and just let Him overshadow us with His wings and His love and His care and His encouragement and His protection. Wow.
Yep, He's protected. And and just a note out there to father figures. My
Father's Day is coming up.
Father's Day is coming up. And my granddaughter, when she was smaller, she would have nightmares. And all parents have been through that at one time or another with their children. She would have nightmares, and you know, Liz would go in there and comfort her, or you know, or I'd be there because our granddaughter is staying with us. But Liz asked her, "Well, you know, what are you dreaming about, or you know, or how did you wake up?" And she says, "Because Grandpa saved me." In her dream, Grandpa came and saved me. That's how much men in the lives of their family and their children. You have an impression upon the children. I found one of the reasons they can't trust in God or trust in Jesus is because of the actions of their earthly father.
It's really important. Thank you, Kevin. There's one other distinction here we might draw, and that's between a refuge and a shelter.
Yes.
And the distinction that I would see is that a refuge is a place of safety, but you get away to the refuge, whereas the shelter is in the storm. The safety is in the storm. It's not getting away from it. It's being in the storm. That's how I would see it.
Yeah, I love that visual again. I love that distinction because He is our shelter in the storm. He is.
Yeah.
I mean, He is where we need to go. We need to go to Him first, not trying to, you know, it's like, Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge me, and he will direct our paths, because he's saying, I made you to be dependent on me. I made you to trust me. I made you to come to me, and I will bring you through those storms, the storms of life. And we've all had storms of life.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what a refuge, you know, we're just kind of teary-eyed today. Kevin and
That's
I are
it.
Kind of
That's
teary-eyed.
It.
Because I was remembering when I was taking care of my wife for those 6 years, about that he was my refuge that I could go to. And he kept me healthy for those 6 years, because he knew I couldn't get sick and be able to take care of my wife. So I had divine health, but he was my refuge because I had nowhere else to turn. Nowhere else to turn. And he says, I'm with you, my son. I'm with you, my son.
Yes.
I am your shelter. I am your refuge. We can make this as we walk through this together. And that is so, that brings peace in my life. I don't know about you too, Don. It's like, I know that I am the apple of his eye, that I am complete in him, that I am, I have his righteousness, and that he is pleased with me as I walk in his presence. And I share that with the guys at the jail, because here they are in jail. They're being sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're being sheltered. But I had five guys on Tuesday, and they care about each other. They are, you know, because we can talk about the body of Christ being a shelter and a refuge.
Right.
You know, the importance of our relationships is everything. It is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and so those guys lift each other up in the jail. And we would go, and what's so exciting, as I was sharing with my wife, is that that I'm getting all the guys to pray. They've never prayed out loud ever.
Wow.
You know, they say, and it's like, is that anything I'm doing? No. I'm inviting them to pray, because I say, your prayers are just as effective as mine. And you need...
That's right.
And as they pray for each other, they're encouraging and building up. And that's what we create, a safe refuge in that meeting where, when we get together. And I say, and you can create that same refuge, that same shelter in your unit in getting together.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important, because we're bombarded all the time from the negative aspects of the world, because
we live in a broken,
sinful world.
That's right.
You know, but we have the victory in him. And that's why it's so important. I just love you, Lord. It's so important to gather with other Christians, other believers that care about you, you know, that they can be those vessels. They can be the Barnabases. I like that, the Barnabases.
The Barnabases.
Yeah, because the word Barnabas means son of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared with the guys on Tuesday, I said, my mother was going to call me Barnabas, because she had the B's. We had Bill, Barbara, and I was going to be Barnabas.
Oh, yes.
And it's interesting, because that isn't the name that I ended up with, but she, and I've said this before on the podcast, is that the Lord used her to actually speak a word over me, the kind of character that I have, because I am an encourager. Because of him, I am an encourager. So I am a Barnabas. You know, I am a Barnabas. So I shared with that. So,
yeah, Luke 11:28, it says, and Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it.
Hear and obey.
And that's what I was, the words that came out, or came to mind earlier, was trust and obey.
Mm-hmm.
And
for there's no other way.
For there's no other way. Trust and obey.
Happy in Jesus.
Right.
That's right.
So, I mean, what that is saying, you know, those who believe I am the Messiah in their minds, but it's a reciprocal thing that we have our part. God did his part, and we have our part. And that's simple as trust and obey.
That's right. Hmm. Obey, being obedient is greater than sacrifice.
That's right.
Psalm 62, 7 and 8, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust him at all times, you people.
Trust and obey.
Then he will give us the peace that surpasses all
understanding. And when we're talking about how to build a refuge, we're not building a fortress. We're not going out and with brick and mortar and building a place to hide, because God doesn't want us to hide under a basket.
Right.
He wants or in a bunker, but part of that is building the relationship with God, trusting and obeying. And through that, he reveals himself to us.
Mm-hmm. As we look at the refuge being a place to kind of go to and kind of collect ourselves and be with others versus the shelter where you're actually in the storm, which approach really fits what the church is all about? Is it a place to escape to, or is it a place to weather the storm?
Yes. How's that, Don? How's that, Don? Yes.
Yep.
That does it.
Yep. I'm amplifying the verse, but Jesus says, don't be a loner and forsake not the gathering with like believers, other believers.
Not with people you unlike. Dislike?
Well, this is different than like on social media.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Unlike, but like believers. They're other believers that believe the same thing. They believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Even build each other up in your most holy faith.
Right.
The pure faith.
And that's what's so critical. We need those relationships.
Yes, we do.
Are not, just like you said, we're not loners.
Just so we're not alone.
We were not meant. He created us for his purpose so that he could communicate with us and commune with us. And so we were created to be in relationships.
So refuge is relationships.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. What was interesting, I had remembered way back when in some studies that are reading the Bible previously, was in Numbers they talk about the Levites, dividing the land for the Levites, and they created six cities of refuge. Do you remember that, guys? The cities of refuge. And you know what those cities were for? Those were for people that accidentally killed another person, where they could be safe and not be hauled away and be have retribution against them. So it was a place where people could go and be safe because they had accidentally killed somebody else. So the cities of refuge go back, Bible scholar there, Don, how long ago was that? But that's what it was, way back in Numbers. It talks about the cities of refuge in the Levites.
Well, let's see, Moses was about, 1446 when he left Egypt, when he took the people of Israel out of Egypt. So 1400 years about, something like that.
Wow. I was going to read all of Psalm 91 because what do you think, Don? I mean, all of Psalm 91 is great, but I'll start with verse 2. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. Psalm, and then going on to verse 9, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near.
And so Jesus is the ultimate refuge. However, sometimes we need to shelter the storm with friends. And just like this morning, I was in the storm, so to speak. I had a conversation on a phone with somebody who had fear, anxiety, and despair. It's not hard to fall into that, listening to that. And what we need is like believers. Sandy comes into the place, and we joke around a little bit, but then we start looking at this, looking at our notes, which is, I'm creating them as I go here. that things just change, you know, when we bring Jesus into the conversation, when we bring our refuge into the conversation. I mean, it touches our very soul at times. You know, it makes us laugh, makes us cry. God is a God of emotions. You know, the Bible talks about him getting mad, but he's, you know, oftentimes mad at sin. You know, the sin that's keeping us from our fullness, or keeping us from our joy and life, you know, which is, you know, life with him involved. And that is working at our, you know, if we have a part in it, we can choose what to focus on every day. You know, yes, there are tragedies and different things in the world, but we should deal with them. But keep in mind that Christ is the ultimate refuge, and our relationship with him strengthens us. And when I talk about dealing with the anxiety and fear of the world, you know, maybe sometimes we have to put up some boundaries.
Wow, boundaries.
Boundaries. You know, we talk, there's a such thing as being a codependent, meaning, you know, call me up with your problems and all I do is say, yeah, you're right. Some of those boundaries you have to put up, it's not the same in any two cases, I don't think. So boundaries is to keep things out that are harmful.
Right, and I think that, you know, I'm just thinking about what you're saying, Kevin, and when you get in those conversations, it's important to bring back the focus to Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, it really is. We don't think about that because we get caught up in that for a long length of time, and it's like everything that we share on this podcast, I always go back to, it's our relationship with Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have to have that personal relationship. And if we have that personal relationship, anytime we speak to somebody, you know, we need to, what I have to end up doing sometimes is I'll just whisper his name, just whisper the name of Jesus. But we need to bring him into the conversation, because otherwise it can just go on and on and on and drain a person. You know, that's like, because there is no life in anything other than Jesus Christ.
Right.
They're just, I mean, I'm just saying these blatantly. I'm just saying these things because in him is our life. In him is our freedom. In him is our abundance. In him is the very blood of that filters through our lives. I use John 15. If we abide in him, if we abide in the vine, if we're connected to Jesus Christ, we will have a life and we will be able to speak into other people's lives and provide a refuge for other people. We want a refuge and we want to provide a refuge for other people. And the only way we can do that is to speak the truth and be obedient for what he wants us to do. And as disciples, it's like, he is the way, the truth, and life. He is our shelter. He is my refuge at all times, and I can trust him. I can trust him through the trials of life, because we're all going to have it. I mean, we have daily trials. We do. We're bombarded on a daily basis, but he says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Spend time with me.
And you will be blessed. I mean, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it.
Hear and obey.
Yeah. I mean,
what if we
blessings,
just hear and forget about
blessings
it?
Is not just, a pot of gold I stumbled across after a rainstorm. It's, however, that could be a blessing. I don't want to rule that out. The blessings come from hearing and obeying. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. So it builds up your faith when you hear and obey, and then the blessings are the result.
Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it?
That's so simple. That's right.
All we have to do is just speak the word of God to people instead of it's.
That's right.
You know, being empathetic, but you want to give people the truth and you want to help set people free.
That's right.
Because people that are in despair will try to suck other people down into that despair.
Well, that's where the That's where the boundaries come in. There's a fine line between asking for help or just asking for an audience.
Right. Yeah. That enabling behavior. And enabling.
Right.
Listen and enable. You know, how does that work for you? Not very well.
No.
And you're gonna, and unless you set boundaries, you're gonna keep hearing that. But I wanna get back and focus on having a place of refuge, spending time with the Lord. So, calling on him on a daily basis. It's like we're in the process of moving, combining two households, and we pray every morning, Lord, direct us, protect us from wrecking our backs and, you know, with the move and all that. Just lead and guide us, because we can't do this without your help.
So you're saying set aside a specific time each day to meet with God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we should put our phones on silence. There's a little boundary.
Uh-oh. I actually turned mine on.
Well, I'm in a meeting with God. I mean, if you go to a meeting at work, they make you leave your cell phones outside the room sometimes, because everybody's fooling around with that rather than paying attention.
Being distracted.
That's right, distracted. There we go.
Keeping away.
I like that.
Go on, Don.
I really like that idea of a specific time each day.
I think so.
And I think also a place, if possible. I know that at one point you talked about making a place for worship. And my immediate thought was this kind of stereotype. Well, a little table, a little chair, a picture of Jesus.
There you go.
You know, it all just seemed kind of like a stereotype. And, of course, that has nothing to do with it.
Don't forget the candles.
Pardon?
Don't forget the candles.
Candles. Right. And at least four Bibles. But you're not talking about that. You're talking about finding a place that is comfortable for you to really study the Scripture.
That's right.
That means a place, and that is at least temporarily a sacred space while you're worshiping there and while you're studying there. And that makes it a little bit more like a refuge. But, of course, there can be storms going on in your life and in your soul that you need to have shelter from, too.
That's right. Published on our website a PDF, Letters on Discipleship, and on the very end of it, I have this this thing called Prayer, Praise, and Prophecy. And how I got that was part of how that came about. I was traveling one time with Bob Aspling to a conference in Mansfield, Ohio, and they had a church in the side of the, I can't remember how that's the term, but it was like the General Electric Theater that used to be like the first television broadcasting place. And that was like a little bitty museum in the middle of this place. But there was a church off to the side in Mansfield, Ohio. And it was really cool, because the guy or woman would be preaching, and then every time they got to the real good part, and I don't know if they had this timed or what, but there was a train that would go by real slow next to that building, because it's an industrial city. The place would just shake. And,
wow.
And I think some of those preachers kind of knew the train schedule there, because they would get to the good part of the sermon. Anyway, back to the point. On driving there, we took several days to drive there from Minnesota, and we'd always stop each morning and we'd read a psalm or two and some proverbs, because we wanted to get some, you know, wisdom. We're looking for God's blessing and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got on the on that PDF a chart for day one. And then we put themes to the psalm, so you had some idea what you're going into. And the day one of the month, all the way to day 30, you'd read a psalm and a proverb, and read, and then each month you would read through the whole thing. And we were doing that on the way out there. And like, for instance, day one of the month, the theme is blessings. So you would read Psalm 67, 72, 84, and 128, which are all on blessings. Mm-hmm. Day one, Proverbs 1. And then so on. The second one, day two is calling to God. Day three is confidence. Day four is deeds of God. Day five is about doubt, Psalm 42, 73, and 77, and so on. I've neglected to keep up that tradition. I am going back to doing that at the prescribed time when I have my meeting with God every day.
That's awesome. So, you know, what you're sharing there is, I remember too, is like there's 30 Proverbs. I read them every day.
Right.
Corresponding to the day of the month. And it's like...
And we stopped.
You know, and we forget about that, but there's so... That's a gem for disciples that are listening. And if you want to be... Because...
Build your refuge.
You build your refuge.
And relationship with God.
And you're getting the wisdom through Proverbs, and you're getting the heart of God through Psalms and who He is, too.
That's right.
Those are two gems today, I mean, right now.
Pray for wisdom. I mean, how much do we need that to navigate the world today?
Yeah. I love this. Yeah. I've got Psalm 142.
All right.
And it's titled, My Only Hope. God, I'm crying out to you. I lift up my voice boldly to beg for your mercy. I spill out my heart to you and tell you all my troubles. Been there, done that. For when I was desperate, overwhelmed, and about to give up, you were the only one there to help. The only one.
The only one.
You gave me a way of escape from the hidden traps of my enemies. I look to my left and right to see if there is anyone who will help, but there is no one who takes notice of me. I have no hope of escape, and no one cares whether I live or die. So I cried out to you, Lord, my only hiding place. You're all I have, my only hope in this life, my last chance for help. Please listen to my heart's cry, for I am low and in desperate need of you. Rescue me from all those who persecute me, for I am no match for them. Bring me out of this dungeon so I can declare your praise, and all your godly lovers will celebrate all the wonderful things you've done for me. That's how Psalm 142 ends.
So he's obeying God, and those are the blessings that come from trust and obey.
That's right.
I mean, the key phrase in there was, you gave me escape. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you asked the young child. How did you escape the dream?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus gave me escape.
Yeah.
How did you escape that despair? How did you escape the fear? Mm-hmm. You know, because we want to build up faith as part of our refuge, and that will dispel fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can build that in community. And that's why it's so important that we establish that we are in community with other people, that we can bear our burdens and have them pray for us and support us so that they can provide that refuge for
That's
us.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it works both ways. We help create a refuge for our friends and other believers and people that even don't know who Jesus Christ is, and they provide a refuge for us. It's like I go to the jail and I share how that everything has to point to Jesus Christ, that He alone you can depend on. You need to trust and obey Him. And I get back from them what they've learned and how they're walking with the Lord. And then that builds up my faith. That's my refuge. That's my shelter. Everything always points back to Jesus. It has to point to the only way for our salvation and the only way for our life. The only way that we can live victoriously is depending on Him, to go to Him at all times.
Right. Yeah, another thing.
I'm also impressed.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm also impressed with this idea of building a refuge. It's something that you plan ahead. It's something that you construct carefully. You think about how you're going to use it. Whereas a shelter in a storm is something you desperately look for mm-hmm. when you are in the storm. And if you have a refuge, obviously that's one of your first thoughts. But the shelter in the storm, if you're in the middle of a heavy thunderstorm, you don't start looking around for lumber and for a saw and nails and hammer.
No.
You don't think about building a shelter. You think about, where is there a shed? Where is there a barn? Where is there something yep. that can keep me, get me out of this storm?
Where is there a ditch I can lie in?
Yeah, where can I be safe?
Where can I be safe and from what is flying through the air at the time?
Yeah.
So it's twofold. That's really great, Don, because we have to be intentional, too. We have to be intentional about building our refuge, building our shelter, spending that time with him, so that when the storms come, and you know they're going to come, we will know how to react, that we have prepared for those storms. We have prepared. And even if things are terrible, we can cry out, just like David did, cry out, "Help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord." Mm-hmm. And he hears our prayers. And that's the important yes. thing for all of our listeners to remember, is that he hears our prayers. He hears our prayers.
He does hear
them. He knows our heart. He knows what's going on with us. So be intentional. Amen. Just like you were saying, Don, we need to be intentional to build that refuge. And we need to build those disciplines in, like reading. I haven't heard of that one. That's a new one for me, Kevin. Reading the psalm along with a proverb. Praise the Lord. That's mm-hmm. absolutely wonderful.
Right.
I'm blessed just with that. That made this whole podcast.
That did it. Plus, I got it written down this time, so you can take it with you.
Psalms are songs, too, so you can sing them. It gives you something to sing.
Yeah, that's right. And Liz and I call it prayer, praise, and prophecy. And the prophetic part is God speaking back to you. Mm-hmm. And whenever we get together or we're invited to do music at a prayer night, Liz skillfully plays music. And what I do is I just pick a theme from this list. And sometimes prayer ahead of time finds out what theme should I use from this list. And that's why I have the theme column on it. And then she plays the music, and then I speak the words from this at the same time. Mm-hmm. And many times her music goes right into using those words sung back to us. And and we call it, prayer, praise, and prophecy. And that's how the Lord taught us to pray together. There are other groups that have their methods and everything. But when we get serious with God and to play this music, this is what we do, and this is the list I take it from to do those words, and then. And you will hear from God if you use this list in when you have your specific time to meet with God, mm-hmm. and if you go to church, a lot of times we could just go there to worship, mm-hmm. and but to have a meeting with God, like we were saying, to help build your refuge and sit down with Him. Your prayer or speaking to God at the meeting will turn into praise, because and that's what happens when we get together and Liz does the music, mm-hmm. and then the prophetic part comes. Just like here we see in Revelations 19:10, it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, mm-hmm. See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant." He was but the one showing them the way. Mm-hmm. He was but the preacher in front of you on Sunday. He was just your fellow servant, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. I was bringing the testimony to these knights. Don't fall down in front of me, but fall down in front of God.
Amen.
And then it goes on to say, emphatically, worship God. That is what the preacher in this verse is saying. That is what the angel in this verse is saying. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So Jesus' testimony will be the spirit of prophecy. I mean, if you want to hear some prophetic words, that's where to go.
Now, Kevin, are you going to make these blessings and wisdom available, the verses and the themes that are listed here?
Yeah, that you were mentioning to begin with.
Yep, they're currently on our website.
Wonderful.
Under the menu selection, Letters on Discipleship.
Okay.
Well, there it is.
Which is being updated every day. Because we come here with a clean sheet every... Yeah. Yes, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we come here with a clean slate. And that's two words saying them at the same time doesn't work, does it, Sandy? And
well, a clean shave is good too.
A clean shave, that's right. And but anyway, we got our notes are being made as we speak. They're not.
Yeah. That's why I don't know how you feel, Don, but I'm just blessed for this podcast because during the podcast we hear from the Lord. He's saying,
"Amen.
Remember this. Remember when I did that. You know,
that's right.
Remember what I've done in your life." And I mean, I leave here so much better because it's like when I meet with the guys at the jail. I said, "My goal is that you leave here feeling better than when you came.
That's right.
And that you get to know who your Father God is and His Son Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And that's what this podcast is about. And it's like, I'm blessed. So listeners, create your refuge.
That's right.
Create your refuge. Create those relationships with other men and women that are like-minded, that you can bear your burdens and that you can share and you can have help through the storm that you're weathering. Because we can't do it alone. I keep saying that all the time. The individualist will die. The enemy wants to separate you from the body,
right,
so that you wither and die, so he can destroy you. But we are to be in fellowship with one another. We are to seek each other out, and we are
Amen.
To confidently come before the throne of God.
That's
he
right.
says, come unto me, draw near to mm-hmm. me, and I will draw near to you, 100% of the time. And it works.
It
you know,
does.
The question
does.
Is, how's that working for you? Yes.
Yes, it works. That's
it
right.
It works.
That's
if
right.
people need to hear that, all you listeners, is that realizing drawing near to him and being intentional, spending that time with him, works. It does work. And you will be blessed. You will never
That's
be the
right.
same. You
That's
will
right.
never be the same again.
Just as the... Yeah, again, I get back to that, you know, prayer, praise, and prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
That is what happens if you have a session with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts out in prayer, like, hey, God, you know, why am I here? It could be simple mm-hmm. as that. But just press in, and it'll turn into praise. And it, like I said, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
What is his testimony? You know, he died for our sins. He took sickness upon him, and the Bible says by his stripes,
praise God,
by his whipping and bleeding, the blood of Jesus, we have been healed. We are healed. I've been in the back room here and this is years ago. Liz was playing the piano in the front of the building, and then I was thinking, like, yeah, of our evenings when we go and do this, and I started reading one of the Psalms, and the glory of the Lord just entered our house.
Whoa!
Liz in the other end
Whoa.
Of the house, and I was healed Whew. At that moment, that very time. I felt a
wow.
touch on the back of my neck, and
Hallelujah.
I had 20/20 vision after that session. Before that, I had some glasses corrections. You know, today I wear glasses because I'm old and your eyes get weak. And but I mean, that was back, you know, in my 40s, I would say.
A couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago. But just that session, I mean, and we've seen it in church gatherings, in prayer nights and different things. God's glory comes into that room, and his testimony is our salvation. And it's just, and that's the prophecy is you have been healed. You have
that's
been
right.
healed.
That's right.
And then what you're saying is at the prison there, they all leave changed. They all leave with joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much of that is, all of that is the presence of the Lord.
That's right. Yeah. I love the progression, prayer, worship, and prophecy.
That's right.
Because if I spend time in prayer, you know, if I read his word and listen to him as he
What's
talks
the response?
To me, is worship.
That's right.
Worship.
Yes.
And then
right.
after I worship, like I said, if you're depressed, start worshiping the Lord.
That's right.
You cannot stay depressed if you're worshiping the Lord. And then you go from worship, and then he says, hey, this is what I want you to know. This is the preparation. Mm. This is what I want you to do today.
That's right.
You know, and that's from the very heart of God. And he's saying, and you can do this because I'm with you. Without me, you can't do it, but together we can do that.
That's right.
So it's a
prophecy.
Prophecy, yeah. Prayer, worship, prophecy.
That's right.
I mean, it's a progression, but it comes naturally. It's not like, gee, I better do this now and then I better do that. No.
No.
Because you go from prayer and praise to worship, and coming out of worship is prophecy.
That's right. Our
healings
part and then God's part.
Healings and deliverance right. and being set free from things. It's like,
amen.
Bless the Lord. I am excited. This is, whew. There's a lot in this podcast.
There is. There is.
Yes.
Because he's the center of it all. He says, and I love it, Don, where you say, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional.
We have
he
to
has
be.
To be the most no. important person in our life. And we have to give him that time. Beginning the day, that time, and then mentioning his name and hearing from him throughout the day.
That's right.
But we need to be intentional.
We need to exercise our spiritual nature, because
right.
if you don't use it, you lose it.
That's right.
And how often do we see that in our bones?
That's right. And he created
that's
us
right.
to spend time with him.
That's right.
Why I was created. That's the only reason I was created, is to spend time with my Father God. And to get to know him, to walk in the quiet of the evening in
That's
the
right.
Garden of Eden.
That's right.
I picture it, and then it's like, and then, like I'll tell the guys at the jail, I will tell, you know, because when they'll be praying and they'll be, you know, they'll be reading words in the Bible, and of course they can't pronounce some of them because it's like, because, you know, what's reconciliation? You know, we have to,
right.
Or portent, a portent. This is a portent, you know. But it's like, like I always tell them, God is looking down at us and he's saying, those are my sons. Those are my
those
sons.
Are.
And they're worshiping me. They are with me and I love them. I love them. And I put those images in their mind because that's what he's doing. Because it is it's worthwhile. It's everything, every time we pray and praise and worship and spend time with him, it just builds that relationship. And because of that, we're built up. We are never the same.
Never the same.
Never the same.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good.
And at the end of this, I'll add it when I edit this thing. It's going to be an impromptu choir of angels of 150 people singing praise to the Lord.
Ooh, I love that.
Oh, wonderful.
So I recorded that last week.
Yeah.
Now we went to the East High School. Another conductor is retiring after 20 years. You know, like Mark Escola, this is the guy that replaced him. And so they had the current East Choir there at UMD. Mm-hmm. And that hall that's got the acoustics, like
Weber Hall.
And anyway, they were honoring the guy and is it leaving and stuff. And then somebody said, you know, what about your alumni choir? You know, we, you know, where are they? And they started walking in.
Oh, my. he probably just broke down.
So this place, yeah, I'm breaking down right to the atmosphere just changed there. And God's glory came into the room. Not the man there, but they sang praise to the Lord.
Oh,
amen.
In about, you know, 8 parts. I mean, perfectly. And there was like 150, 200
Woo.
Extra singers
Woo.
In that room.
Woo.
You know, they were standing in the aisles. They were the stage was overloaded. They were in the balcony. Wow. And
I can't wait.
That's got to be what heaven's like.
That's
got
to
be what heaven's like. It was.
The atmosphere was changed.
Yeah, is that right?
Yes,
that's right.
Yes,
that's
yes.
right. But here you go. High school.
Thank you, Jesus. That's right.
I'm glad they didn't leave God out of the day there.
That's awesome.
That's true.
Well, why don't you, Don, could you close in prayer? I've been so blessed and it's just been a wonderful time. And if there's any people out there listening or whatever, call in if they have any questions or prayer requests or any of those things. That's what we're about. And the telephone number is
218-461-0164. And somebody will get back to you.
Right. Okay, Don.
You want to give that again?
218-461-0164.
Great. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for this time together as well. We thank you for the prayers of God's people and how important that is for every one of us. Lord, it's an important part of building a refuge, and it's an important place for building the relationship with you. Thank you for prayer, Lord. Thank you. And thank you for praise. We do praise you and honor you and glorify you. We thank you for the praises that we have, the magnificent praises before the throne of God in the book of Revelation. Thank you for that possibility. And Lord, we thank you that you give us the prophetic word from those actions and from those practices when we really are entering into worship. Lord, we thank you for your prophetic word and for your direction and for your guidance in everyday life. What a joy it is to serve you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege of coming by PGN and doing this. But Lord, we pray that it will be magnified by your Spirit and that you will get all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Brother Don. Thank you, Lord, for this time.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Lord.
So,
I'm ready. I'm prepared now for anything that happens today.
There we go.
Thank you, Lord.
Yep.
Thank you, Don. This is wonderful. God is.
Oh yeah.
God is all the time. He is good all the time.
God is.
God is. Mm-hmm.
God is good.
That's what I write down on the board with the jail. I put God is, and then I put dot dot dot.
Yep.
And we just fill in the blank and do that. So. Bless you, Brother Don. I've got to go do some more packing because we're making 2 households into 1. So,
take care, Sandy.
Yeah. A lot of work.
Yeah, keep praying. Thank you. I appreciate you, Don.
All right. Bye, Don.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Open the windows. Wow, the balcony is full. It
goes on forever out the window. Where are they all coming from? Hundreds, if not thousands.
Oh,
The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let me break it down for you. Revival is here today. People want to know more about Jesus. Become a laborer in Christ. Join us Tuesdays and Thursdays for a live video conference if you would like to learn more about Jesus. Details can be found at pgn.church. That is a web address, an internet-only church serving Christ online for 25 years. You are listening to the Gospel Trail.